Thankful that we can have a relationship with Jesus Christ, and the reality of it is, He wants us to be close to Him. And I know the way the words are written there in the songbook, if you please, well, He sure does please. And I know the way I've always sung that, it's my plea, because man, it really is, God, I want to draw close to You, and it takes that personal time, really does, daily, that discipline of spending time in His Word. As we grow together, our memory verse that we're working on, and as we grow together this year as a church family, we think about the cost of abortion. We heard about that this morning and the tragedy, the reality of the numbers. And when I first heard that speech, was just moved and was challenged with the numbers. You hear numbers. I've heard numbers, and man, when you either visualize it or hear it from that realm, it takes on a whole new light and a whole new dimension. More than 57 million abortions have been performed here in the United States since 1973. And in that, just to give, again, another visualization, if you look at the map of the United States, the 2010 population of these states is less than 57 million people. 57 million abortions is greater than the 2010 population of these following states combined: Michigan, Alabama, South Carolina, Louisiana, Kentucky, Oregon, Oklahoma, Connecticut, Iowa, Mississippi, Arkansas, Kansas, Utah, Nevada, and Hawaii. And 2010, just taking those states and saying no more, is what it would equal up to today with just the abortions. Life is precious. Not because we say it is, not because we think it is, not because we love our kids. Life is precious because God has made it precious. Life is precious because it is something created specifically of God. Genesis chapter 1, we think about creation. And we see that in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And many of us know that verse. And man, we think Genesis 1:1, and we can just quote that and go off. And in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And sometimes we just rattle off verses and don't think about the reality of it. But creation was special because God did it. God did not have to create the world. And God did not have to create all of the galaxies in our solar system. And yesterday I was challenged, as Pastor Bob was sharing at the memorial service for his aunt, just with the incredible spaciousness of our universe. And yet that God chose this tiny place called Earth. And more than that, He put us, who are way smaller than that. And yet He made the ants, who are much smaller than us. But there was something special about human life. And as we look in Genesis chapter 1, we're going to be reminded of the truth. Yes, God made everything. And it was all special, and it is special. But there is something special about creation of human life. Human life is special. You are special. As we think of sanctity of life, and many times we're reminded of the reality of abortion. But that's just where life begins, at conception. But human life is special from the womb to the grave. And just as special as the unborn baby, you are, and I am, in His sight. And aren't you thankful that He loves us in ways we don't understand and we certainly don't deserve? Before we get into the Word, let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your love. God, as we open up Your Word, we pray that You'd make a difference. God, we pray that You would work in our hearts and our lives because it's Your Word. God, I pray that I'd just be the mouthpiece and let You speak through me. God, I pray that You would help us to glorify You and truly be challenged at how special life is. And it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Number one, we're reminded that human life is special because we were created in the image of God. You know, it's interesting, and we won't take the time to read verses 1 through 25, but if you read down through those verses, you see, and He made, and then and we go through the evening and the morning was that day, and the evening and the morning the night, and He made, and He said, and He spoke. But we get down to verse number 26, And we see something very special. Verse 26 says, "And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." So God created man in his own image. It doesn't say that about any of the animals. It doesn't say that about any of the plants. It doesn't say that about the sun or the moon or the stars or the planets, but us in the very image of God. Life is special. We go on here and we look in verse 28. After it says, "And he male and female created he them. And God blessed them. And God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it. And have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. And God said, behold, I have given you every herb bearing seed which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree in which is the fruit of a tree yielding seed. To you it shall be for meat, and to every beast of the earth, and to every fowl of the air, and to everything that creepeth upon the earth, wherein there is life, I have given every green herb for meat. And it was so. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good." But you know, the chapter doesn't end there. And as we think about this whole storyline, I hate to say story because it is not a story, the historical event of creation. God could have clearly ended with this phrase, he made everything and it was very good. But look at the very last phrase here. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day. What is God saying was very special? Human life. Because as he says about all of his other creation on those days, it was good. But when it comes to human life, he says, it was very good. There is something special about human life from conception to death. And death can happen at any moment. We know abortion is death. Choosing to put to death. But we know there are also miscarriages. That is death. It's not just the ceasing of a pregnancy. We know that some babies are born still. That baby was still alive, special. We know that there are deaths of children at young ages. For many reasons, at many times, accidental, health-related, the tragedy of death is real. We know that teenagers and young adults and older adults, there is death at every age. But it doesn't matter at what point it is. Life is special. Human life is special. And there is a place and a pride that we must put in it, not because of us, not because that's my kid. God made that person. And life is special. Human life is special because we were created in the image of God. Human is a special being. The word image really gives us the idea of an illusion or resemblance. When you got up this morning and you looked in the mirror, you didn't really see you. You saw an image of you. I hope you did. Right? I mean, we look and maybe sometimes you see the junior high guys or the teenage guy. Man, they don't care what their hair looks like in the morning. They just go out anyway or whatever it may be. I mean, but we try to get in front of the mirror and see our image and see what needs to be fixed. You remember when you first were learning to use a mirror and you had to see reverse and figure out, okay, wait a second, how am I doing this? And I don't know, I remember some of those goofy things. And you know, we go through that and we see an image. A resemblance, a shadow of the original. See, the Bible says that God created us in his own image. We are a shadow of him. We are not God. But we were made like him, to resemble him. And it's incredible. I mean, so many different things. We are higher than the animals. There is a specialness about human creation that God has done because we were made in his image. It's interesting as we think about this. In the spirituality of his being as an intelligent and free agent, didn't God give us intellect? It didn't just happen. We were made in the image of God. God is very intellectual. In fact, we're reminded that his ways are higher than our ways and his thoughts higher than our thoughts. And I mean, we can't even attain unto it. But what we can understand and know, he's given us that ability, that spiritual aspect of intellect and intelligence as a free agent. He's given us choice. God is free to do as he pleases. He has given us choice. And we are free to do as we please. Now, there are consequences. But we are free to do as we please. God did not make us robots. But not just as a spiritual being and the moral integrity and holiness of his nature. God is holy. We're reminded in the auditorium Sunday school class this morning, be holy for I am holy. We are made in the image of Christ and of God, and we are to resemble him. And the only way that you and I can ever accurately do that is if we first trust Jesus Christ as Savior for our sins. Life is so special that God sent his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, down to this earth to be born as a babe, to grow up a sinless life, to die on a cruel cross for you. That's how special you are. Life is special to God. We are made with those moral choices, but we must choose Christ to be able to resemble God as he wants us to. You go to a mirror and man, you want to look your best, don't you? Usually? I know the ladies last night had it. Maybe you wanted to look your worst last night, right? With that ugly sweater contest you had and with that aspect and how ugly can I get? But the reality is when we look in a mirror, we want to do the best we can. And whether you admit it or not, we all have been made in the image of God. For those who reject God, they were still made in the image of God and their life is very special. But the only way that any of us can accurately reflect who God is as we first trust Christ as Savior and then choose to see him. Jesus reminds us someday we will be like him. Why? For we will see him as he is. Life is special. We were made in the image of God spiritually, morally, and in dominion over creatures. God is over all, ruler of all. And he's given that aspect to us as human beings. And we look at that early in the garden and Adam and his responsibilities that he was given. In fact, we could look in Genesis chapter 4 and see in verse number 2. And she, being Eve, and we're going to talk a little bit more about them, but she, again, bare his brother Abel. And Abel was a keeper of the sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. They had dominion, they had responsibilities, because God is responsible. We have been made in the image of God. Your cat doesn't have too many responsibilities. Now, they think they may own the house, but they don't. There is something special about human life. You've been made in the image of God. You've been formed by God. Look at verse 26 again. Verse 26 of chapter 1. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God, what's that next word? Created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. We're reminded of God. I mean, throughout this chapter it says God, God, God. God did this. God, God. We are special because of God. The word here, the name used of God here is Elohim. And as we think about that, he is the supreme being, the strong and mighty one. It expresses the fullness of the divine nature. Here, and really we see here specifically, God says, let what? What kind of pronoun does he use? Let me. No, he says, let us. Now, we know there's only one God. What's he talking about here? I mean, we can look at verse 1. It says, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. We're reminded from John that Jesus was very active in creation. Without Him was not anything made that was made. Well, what is God saying here? He's not saying there are three of us. But we see really the intended foreshadow of the threefold personality of God as He reveals Himself through His Word. But as we see this plural use of let us, the adjectives used are in the singular. And I know some of this gets kind of deep. I mean, but it's incredible to think through this aspect. God talks about Himself in the plural, but the adjectives He uses in the singular. So here it is, the unity or triunity or the triuneness of God. We are special. He's made us in His image. The way that these words are put together really explain, suggests the unity of the Godhead. Because He is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We are special because we are made in His image. Created. Verse 27, we talked about that word. Really, the word here, and sometimes, do you ever hear the word creation out in the world? I'm going to create this. Right? I mean, it's a word that's kind of floating around now. And as we look at the word create and making, but really here, even this word, the root word from Hebrew is exclusively used by God. Like, I could say I created this song. You know, I can sit down at the piano and play some song, and nobody's ever had that song before because I just made it up. But the root word for this word creation here is only used by God. Human life is special because only God can do it. And God did it. Evolution is not a fact. It might be a theory. It is a theory. But the reality is we are made in the image of God because He created out of nothing. This word here only used of Him. This distinct creative act of which something previously didn't exist. We've been created, formed in His image. Chapter 2, verse 7, kind of a commentary, if you will, on chapter 1. It goes in a little more in depth. God chooses to put it a little more in depth. What happened in verses 26 through 31? And here in chapter 2, verse 7, it says, "And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And man became a living soul." We see that about no other creation. We see that not about plants or animals. Even some of those animals created on day six. God talks about them, and then He talks about human life. Human life is special. Your life is special. And so is your neighbor's. And so are the unborn babies. We've been formed to mold as a potter would. From the dust of the ground. By God. Not evolved from animals. But truly created in His image. What an awesome God. That would do that. And love us still. We don't deserve to be made in His likeness. After His image. But that's how much He loves us. He has made us relational beings. It goes on in that verse and it says, "And breathed into Him the breath of life." Unlike the life given to the animals. Unlike what we call the living plants. You cut a flower and it is dead. It might look good for a while, but it's only a while. Unless you dry it, right, and make it, but you know it's dead. And that's what happens with human life. There's a point of death. But we've been made in the image of God, and life is eternal. This is just our tent. Life goes on forever, whether it's in heaven or hell. Why did God make us that way? Because He is God. We have choices. He has given us choices. our life is special, and he shows us that not just here in Genesis 1, but I mean, this is the beginning of the Word of God that's written for us, and we see that life is special. And as we follow throughout the entire book of Genesis and Exodus and throughout the entire Bible, life is special. That's why Jesus came to die for our sins, because life is special and he loves us. He's made us a special being. He's made us a relational being. Special relationships with other humans. Back to chapter 1. Again, we're reminded, in verse 27 it says, in the image of God created he him, male and female. There was something special about the differences in gender. God made you a man or a woman because you're special. You're no less than the other person. You may not have all the maybe the abilities you wanted, or you didn't have the nose you wanted, or whatever it may be, but you're special because God made you in his image. But God has made us relational beings. He could have just made Adam and said, good, I've got a man. He could have made just Eve and said, got a woman. But he's made us relational beings because, once again, we are made in the image of God, and God is relational. And I think it can be nice to get away. But I don't think God has called us to live a life of a hermit. God has made us in his image, and part of that image is relational beings. Male and female before God, we need others. I mean, really, chapter 2, verses 18 through 25, we see that. And we won't read through that whole passage. But he said in verse 18, the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him and help meet for him. And we continue through that passage and we can see, well, how did God do it? It wasn't some other animal. Man's best friend is his dog. But there's only so much of a relationship you can have with a dog. There's only so much relationship you can have with your goldfish. Right? I mean, animals, they're good. God made them. And as much as there is something special about human life, I don't think we should be torturing all these other animals either. Because God made them. But there's something different and special about human life. We are made relational beings. We need others. There's the husband-wife relationship, the family relationship, the end of chapter 2. He says, in verse 24, therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. And they were both naked, and the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. They became a family. And we see this separation of family. And we see the reality that God has made husbands and wives. And then their kids. Life is special. There's something special about the family relationship. And we're excited about that here at Drool. There is something special because God did it. We are relational beings. Human life is special because we were created in the image of God. But human life is special because of our responsibilities from God. Yes, we were made in the image of God, and so we're very special. But we're special because the responsibility is given to us from God himself. We didn't just kind of take these on and evolve into these responsibilities. Somehow I got better than a dog, so I got to take care of it. No, God gave us responsibilities. One of those we see back again, chapter 1, verse 28. It says, and God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful, multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the every living thing that moveth upon the earth. And God said, behold, I have given you every herb-bearing seed, which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree. And it continues on. There is the point that you and I are to have dominion over the animals. Yes, we need to be careful. The animals are God's creation. Don't torture them. But God made us more special than the animals. The baby in her mother's womb is special. Not just some piece of tissue, not just some animal until they're born. But special. But God has given us the ability and the responsibility to have dominion even over the animals, to prevail or reign, to direct, control, or use. And there's those responsibilities. We see people have used animals. Really, for God's glory. I mean, we think of over the history of years, whether it be oxen or horses or other animals to help plow fields and go through things. Why? To bring God glory, because they help them plant the fields and have dominion over the plants and the ground and have food so that their bodies can have energy and thus glorify God, 1 Corinthians 10:31. You're special because of the responsibilities you have from God. To have dominion over the animals and over the earth, subdue it. To place one's foot upon the land in the sense of subduing it. You know, I think of some of the old military leaders. I mean, years and years ago, Napoleon, you know, you're going to put your foot right up and that's where I'm going to be. And this is my land and I'm taking it. Well, it's not about us. Why do we have these responsibilities? It's to give glory to the one who's made us in his image. And that's how we must live our lives. That's what changes the way we live. Dominion over the animals and over the earth. But then he also says in verse 28, to help to populate the earth, to be fruitful, to bear fruit, to increase, to bring forth. I mean, it's interesting the words that are used here. God uses words for reasons. Once again, we're made in the image of God. God uses words, not just ideas. We use words because words have meaning. If I said these walls are red, you wouldn't believe me because words have meanings. Verse 28, and God blessed them and said unto them, be fruitful. Look at these three words. Be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it. And have dominion. I mean, talk about the responsibilities given by God. But when he talks about fruitful, to bear fruit or increase, to multiply means to increase. He doesn't say just add to multiply. And then he goes on and uses the word replenish. And this word, many times the way we use it today in our language is to fill again, because we've got that prefix re, right? Do it again. But here, the reality of this word is to fill. And the illustration given by this word is a continuation of segments that fill the whole. Think of an orange or grapefruit. Maybe you like grapefruit. Who likes grapefruit more than oranges? Okay, I do. Good, there's a few of us in here. Okay, you're my favorite. Okay. No, we all like different fruits and vegetables. And by the way, we're talking about fruit on Wednesday nights, right? That's just a plug-in for Wednesday night. Okay, so, but thinking about that grapefruit or that orange and how it's made into a whole, it has segments. And each segment, one segment of that grapefruit or of that orange doesn't fill the fruit. But it had to be a continuation of segments. And God says here to replenish, which is a continuation of segments. God made and created Adam and Eve. And he said, now you have a responsibility to continue doing what I have made you in my image to do. Now I know there are multiple things that can happen when we talk about having children. And I know there can be difficulties in our world. But the sad reality is the biggest difficulty in America today, I think, is abortion. People who choose to do whatever they do and get pregnant and say, I don't want that baby. And yet, there's the reality that we must think about God and what He has made us to do. There are multiples. Again, sanctity of life, as we specifically talk about the life of the infant. But the reality of the sanctity of life is we think about the orphan who needs a parent to raise them, to teach them to live in the image of God. As we think about the sanctity of life of that person who's struggling physically, there are places who have said, assisted suicide is okay. I don't care if it's someone else taking your life or your own life. Life is special because you're made in the image of God. And I understand there are trials. Paul talks about that in Romans, that there are tough things in life. But your life is special. Remember that as you go through trials physically. I'm still special to God. God cares. He knows what I'm going through. Why? You've been made in His image.
You've been given certain responsibilities after His image, after His kind, of what He's called us to do. But human life, number three, is special because God said it was very good. God said it was very good. After He's talking about the responsibilities in verses 28, 29, and 30, verse 31 says, "And God saw everything that what He had made, and behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day."
The word "very" gives us the idea to be exceedingly or tremendously. An abundance of character. Very. When I say I would like a lot of this food, whatever it may be, your favorite food, you go to a buffet and, man, I want a lot of that. You don't want just kind of 1.5 scoops, do you? See, as God used this word "very good," He said it is exceedingly good. Human life is exceedingly good and exceedingly special. It was the creation on the sixth day. I mean, we think about the sixth day. Look up here, up a couple verses. We started in verse 26. Look at verse 23. We see a division here of days again, and you may be familiar with this already, but as we see the division of days, verse 23 says, "And the evening and the morning were the fifth day," and we saw that in other days. But then He goes on, so we know we finished the fifth day. Verse 24 says, "And God said, let the earth bring forth the living creature after His," what? "Kind." Again, I mean, so much that we can see, and maybe it's answers in Genesis or some of these other creation organizations that, man, you just stop and just study the Word of God and see the reality from archaeology and from other sources, even live right now in the world. Creation is real. And here we see the reality that He says, "after His kind, and cattle, and creeping thing, and beasts of the earth, after His kind, and it was so." And so the animals, and really even the plants, have a responsibility given to them from God. But who takes care of them? God does. Reminded that in Matthew chapter 6. That God takes care of them. But as we think about the responsibilities that they have to be fruitful and multiply, God doesn't specifically command them to do it. He just made them to do it. And they do after their kind. And we do after our kind. But there was a specialness because there were responsibilities. But then because He said it was very good. So we continue on, verse 25. "And God made the beast of the earth after His kind, and cattle after their kind, and everything that creepeth upon the earth after His kind. And God saw that it was" what? "Good." Now, it doesn't say in the evening and the morning were the sixth day, because the sixth day still is happening. And He goes on and says, "And God said, let us make man in our image." There is a distinct difference between animals and human life. God said animals were good. He said plants were good as He finishes up the other days, and the light is good, and the sun, and the stars, and the heaven, and the earth. I mean, He says it's good. But at the end of verse 31, after He'd already said the animals were good, He says, "And He saw everything that He had made, and behold, it was very good." There is something special about human life. And you are special to God. And as we stop to realize how special we really are to God, it should change the way we think. Change the way we live. Affect our lives. One, your self-esteem. Again, as we think about sanctity of life, that life is special before God. Oh, me, pity me. I mean, we go have a pity party because I can't do this or I can't do that or I don't look that way or I don't, whatever. But God made you special. Do you believe that? Not just the unborn baby, but you. You are special to God. So we see so many people saying, well, you need to improve your self-esteem and your self-image. Wait a second. It's not my image. I'm made in the image of God. And when I see myself for what I made, that's where my hope and joy can come from. Because it's Him. God, You gave me the body You wanted me to have. And yes, there are things we can do and exercise or other things. And we take a comb and fix our hair. Unless you're Jeff, you don't have to take a comb to that. And I mean, we do these different... because we do want to look good. Because again, we're made... Why do we want to look good before others? Yes, and some people say, well, it's because you're pride. No, it's because there's an innate thing that God has put in us because we're made in His image. And God looks good. So as we think about your life is special, remember that tomorrow. You are special. You get up and you don't feel like getting up. I'm special to God because God made me in His image. You think about that as you think about your neighbor. But you don't know my neighbor. And you don't know my coworker. That person is just as special to God as you are. And that can be tough sometimes. But when we stop to think about the reality of God is good, and everything that He made was good, and yes, He's allowed sin into our world, and some people just are mean. It might be because they don't know Jesus as Savior and aren't living in the image of God. Sometimes those of us who know Christ as Savior don't always choose to live in the image of God, do we? But your coworker, your neighbor, whomever it may be, their life is special. And they need the love of Christ just as much as you and I do. Who needs to be saved around you this year? They're just as special to God. And then we think about the unborn. They are special to God. I know we've done some the bottle drive and the food, the baby shower and other things that we've done recently as a church family. But you don't know who your life is going to touch this week. And maybe they'll never say, well, I'm contemplating an abortion. But maybe God could use you to point out the specialness of human life. That they themselves are special before God. And their baby is special before God. And you love them too. Because we aren't all the easiest to love, are we? Sometimes we think, oh man, if everybody was like me, everybody should love me. I mean, what's going on, right? But we aren't all that easy to love. But we're all special before God. Now, maybe the sad reality in a group this size, maybe there's someone here who's personally experienced an abortion. There is grief over that. It is sin. But aren't you thankful that there's forgiveness of sin? 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I don't know your life. Man, I'm just getting to know everybody. I'm excited about that. But abortion is sin. But God's forgiveness is real. God can use you. Maybe even in a different way. Because you know what some of those mothers are going through. The fears, the anxieties. But moms, every one of you, whether you've experienced an abortion or not, you know what mothers go through. I only have somewhat of an idea of what my wife has experienced through childbirth and that whole process of pregnancy. I mean, when we stop to calculate, we've been married 12 years, coming up 12, almost 13. Man, time goes so fast. And as we stop to calculate that and think about, okay, so we've had 6 babies, so you do 6 times 9, and I mean, we can figure out all the months. And my wife spent a lot of time pregnant so far in our marriage. And she's gone through a lot, and I'm so thankful for her. And moms, I'm thankful for each of you being willing to sacrifice for your child. That is such a gift you've given. And for you teenagers in here, you don't understand what your mother has sacrificed for you. Would you show her and thank her in the way that you can? Mom, thanks for being my mom. thanks for letting me throw up, letting you throw up just to have me. I mean, there is so much that your mom has done for you. Your life is special. That's why she did it for you. But each of us. So wherever you fall on that spectrum, we must remember our life is special. We've been made in the image of Christ, of God. Do you look like Him first, or are you saved? That is the most important decision you can make. That's the only way you can truly resemble God, is first by being saved. And second, if you know Jesus Christ as Savior, are you growing in Him? Our memory verse, we're talking about it, and we'll go over our memory verse again tonight, and as we grow together throughout this church year, it takes that growing. And as we grow together, we are growing in His image. Are you? Are you on board with us as a church family? We're growing, and we want you to be part of that growing.